Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. We are so excited that you tuned into our Grace Like a Flood series. Today's message will give you biblical keys on how to see, give, and receive God's grace. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
We are starting week 8. Can y'all believe it? Week 8 of a sermon series that we have called Grace Like a Flood. And the reason I'm so excited about this sermon series particularly is because it's the sermon series that changed me. Like this is what took me from being a judgmental, I think I'm better than you Christian, to somebody who could identify and really get down in the trenches while people are going through crap and remember that I still need the grace of God. And many times we get into a place where we believe that we needed God's saving grace, but somehow we're better than we used to be, so his sustaining grace is not that important. But I've come to realize that what God has done for every single person, especially me, is something that he continues to do every day I wake up. Like every day I wake up, that's God's grace and mercy that is being shown to me so that I can live, so I can be a good husband, so I can come and be a do good works on this earth. And so I just wanted our whole church to really recognize that you're not better than anybody. Nobody. Well, Pastor Mike, I am better than a homosexual. No, you're not. Well, I am better than a liar. Well, I am better than the prideful people. No, you're prideful for even thinking that. No. And we've built this thing to where we think there's levels to sin. And when God sees sin, he doesn't see, oh, that's two. That's a two. That's a sin scale two. Oh, that's a sin scale nine. Oh, that's a sin. He doesn't see that. All he sees is sin. And when he sees sin, he sends his son. And when he sent his son, if we would receive grace like a flood, then he doesn't see us anymore. He sees us through the lens of his son. And what we have to do as a church is we have to be ready and willing to give that away to every person that comes in contact with us. But you can never give away what you've never truly received. And that's why it's been hard for the church, why it was hard for me for so many years to see people struggling in a sin and not judge them, but actually pray for them and actually stand with them and actually help them and believe for them. I'd rather judge them because somehow it made me feel better about myself. But I'm telling you, that day is over. That we will understand as a church that if not for the grace of God, none of us. I don't care if you're a CEO. I don't care if you have mutual funds all over the world. I don't care how many kids that you've raised to be outstanding citizens. I don't care if it was not for the grace of God. And until we remember that daily, we drift into this judgmentalism about other people. And come on, let's be honest. There's people right now who, if they came and sat next to you in this service, you would feel some type of way because they are dirty. They are not right. And God said, neither are you. He literally calls our righteousnesses as filthy rags. Everything that we think we're righteous in, he says, that don't matter to me. He said, if not for my son, none of us would be worthy. And so the past 7 weeks, I have literally talked to our whole church over and over in different ways, every way I could, to let people know that this will be a hospital for humanity. And I don't care if you're broken, you're lost, you're prideful, you're self-righteous, you're hurting, you can come into this place and you can find healing and you can receive the grace of God. Isn't that exciting for every person that is in here? But today, I want to talk to the people who have been doing it right. Because many times when we talk about this message of grace, we err on the side of just really letting the people who are out there wilding out, going crazy, know you can come in. You can, we're here for you. But subsequently, a lot of times we isolate and kind of put them in a judgmental category, the people who may have been out there at one time, but really started following and obeying God. And what happens is they've started to be faithful, but they get discouraged in being faithful because they're not seeing the fruit or the favor or the miracle in the manner and the timing that they really thought they were going to see it. And so today I came to encourage somebody that we've been talking about the lost and you coming in. But today I need to encourage people who are already found. I need to encourage some fathers who have been doing the best that they can and feel like giving up. I need to encourage some mothers who have been standing in the need of prayer and been standing for a child. And it's like, is this ever going to happen? And you need to be encouraged today. Today, I want to encourage a student who've tried over and over. You've been to every community college that would accept you. And you've never been able to seem to get that degree. And it just seems like there's opposition. Today, the title of my message is Grace for the Faithful. Because there's some of you that have been faithful and you kind of sit back and like, God, is there grace for me? Like, I've been doing the right thing. I've been serving. I've been praying. I've held myself. Like, I'm not out here loose, but you let loosey-goosey over here get man after man. And they fine, Lord. And they there. And I'm over here holding on to you and your word. And I've been faithful and I've been doing it right and I've been holding myself. Why? And they married now and I got to be the best. I got to be the maid of honor, don't I? Come on. You've been doing things right in your business. But somebody who used to do it crooked started doing something else and their business blew up. And what happens a lot of times is we sit here and we try to be faithful, but the enemy starts using our consistency against us. And he starts taunting us that, is God really a good father? Is he really chasing you down? It seems like he's chasing them down. But he's leaving you here. But the devil is a liar. Today, you have to understand that your faithfulness is producing something for your future. And I want to encourage you not to give up. Not to be faint in heart, not to try to go get a bigger testimony of rescue. What are you talking about? Because I used to hear all these people that had all these, like, I was dangling from a building in sin. Yeah, y'all know what I'm saying. And I was strung out on drugs and I was sleeping with somebody while being up. It's like all of these, like, it's all of these like huge stories. And then God, as I was about to fall down to my desperate need, then he swooped in and rescued me. And I am a pastor. Well, everybody don't have that testimony. And in the church, many times we lift up the Jerry Springer testimony. Oh, can we be honest? And we were like, they were on drugs yesterday and now they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And Cass and I, and like, we celebrate that and we should celebrate it. But many times, sometimes we exclude those who used to just be in pride. And God did transformation surgery on their heart. Or they made a wrong decision and decided to really make God their Lord. Like, everything doesn't have to be some big destructive story. We thank God for saving us out of the... But I need to talk to those people today. Because for 7 weeks, we've been talking to everybody. But I want to tell you that there is grace for the faithful. There's a story in Luke 15 that I could literally preach like 10 hours on this one scripture. Because it's so much meat in it. But today, it's the story of the prodigal son. Y'all know that story. Today, I want you to allow me to represent it. Like, I want you to not already go into this message with the preconceived notion of what I'm going to say. Because, you know, there's certain stories that we identify with, and we'll be like, oh, okay, I know what he's about to say. No, you don't. God has given me a fresh view of this. And today, we're not going to talk about the prodigal as much. We're going to talk about his older brother. We're going to talk about the one who didn't go out, the one who stayed, and some of the things that formed in his heart that tried to keep him away from the Father. And I want to see if we can't learn some things. So I'm going to read this whole story, this passage, and I want you to see that there is grace for the faithful. Look at it. Verse 1 says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus. This goes back to our message last week that grace and truth, like when we minister in grace and truth, all type of people are going to be attracted. These tax collectors and sinners were attracted to what Jesus was doing. Look at verse 2. It says, this made the church people, Pharisees and teachers of religious law, mad. They complained that he was associating with such sinful people. He was even eating with them. And doesn't that sound like us a lot of times? Like once we get saved and we get washed and we get that, there's certain people the pastor shouldn't be with. There's certain people that the ministers, the men and women of God, that they shouldn't be around. But we're not just a church that does the message of the Bible. We use the method of the Bible. It's that these people were attracted to the grace and truth that Christ was pointing. And church people were mad that he was associating with them. Now, I don't want anybody to take this message out of context or misconstrue this. And so I need you to see something that really helped me, because there's a lot of us that aren't fully out of the situations that we were in, but we're trying to save people that are still in them, and it ends up drawing us back in. Like I see so many people be like, yeah, I come out that thug life, that trap life. I got to go back and get my bros. I got to go get back. That was last week. Like you need some transformation to happen in your heart. You need, some of you used to do bad business deals or under the table business. You need to have a season of learning truth, of getting some different roots in you. Because if you're trying out for varsity, but you still got freshman skills, you're going to get ran every time. And that's what happens for many people in the body of Christ. We get changed, we get saved, but that's why we have to be renewed in our mind, because we are still becoming and transforming into the image of what God has created. And so what I'm trying to tell you is, when God sends you back into an area or to minister and reach out to people, you need to know that it's for a purpose. It's so that you can be effective, not infected. I'm going to say that again. Most people are going into situations, I got to rescue my girls who's sleeping around and doing all that stuff. Maybe your first step is to get whole. Maybe your first step is to get in a small group, to be committed, to serve somebody else. We try to put on this superhero cape right out the bat and go out and save everybody. But God says, I want to make sure that you have an anchor. I want to make sure that when you go back into these environments, in these worlds, you will be effective, not infected. And why are you saying that, Pastor Mike? Because a lot of people try to use this method of Jesus thing to be very close to what they're very familiar with. And it ends up drawing them back in. Okay, can we be honest? How many of us have been too close to stuff that we came from and it drew us? What's the word? Drew. It drew us. We a family. We all teaching this. It drew us back in. Come on, let's be honest. Oh, girl, you work with her. You need to quit that job. You need to start something. Because God said, I want to do a transforming work on the inside of you. So now, Jesus goes through three stories in this whole thing. I'm not going to read them for the sake of time. But he's basically saying all type of people around, Jesus is going in to be effective, not infected. And then he tells a story about a lost coin, a lost sheep, and then he tells the story of the prodigal son. And basically what he's saying through all of these stories, he's saying, yo, like if one of my children is gone from me, I'll leave 99 people who are doing the right thing to go get that one. And the religious people is like, no, the 99 is cool. He said, but they're not yours, they're mine. And so I'll go after the broken, I'll go after the hurting, I'll go after the lost. And so the religious people are sitting there frustrated, and the people who are sinners and notorious for all this stuff, they kind of leaning in. And then he goes into the prodigal son story. Listen to this. Let's pick up at verse 11. It said, to illustrate the point further. So he's already told two stories. He wants to tell them even more emphasized. Jesus tells them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, Dad, I want my share of the estate now, before you freaking die. That's how it comes across in my head. He said, so his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. I'm freaking getting out of here, Dad. And there, he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land. Ooh, I could preach that. Isn't it funny how when you run out, your situation runs out too? Never mind. Let's just keep going. And he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. You know what? I got to stop there because I need to get through this whole thing, but I've realized as I've gotten older, there is a grace called go ahead then grace. Like when you want something so bad and God's trying to keep it from you, but you say, give me my freaking inheritance. Or give me that job. Or give me that husband. Or give me, oh, come on, let's, or give me that degree. And God's saying, this is not the time. This is not the place. I got something for you. It's 7 months up the road, but you really want this bet? The father didn't have to give him his inheritance. If it was my father, he said, sit down, go to your room. You ain't getting nothing. But this father had a grace in him that said, if this is what you really want, go ahead then. And this is a dangerous place to be. That God gives you what you want, that he's been trying to hold back from you. Because if you get it, you have to sustain it. And it will always run out on you. Like, and what I'm telling you is that there's some people in here who've been doing what you want. Like God's been trying to get you to go a direction and you're like, and you've said stupid stuff like I used to say, well, if God doesn't want me to do it, then he'll stop me. No, he gave you choice. And so when he says you shouldn't do that and we say stuff like something told me not to do that, that's God. Something told me not to go to her house at 2 a.m. That was common sense and God. Do you understand what I'm saying? But what I'm trying to tell you is that there's some things that you can force and God says, go ahead then. Because in his grace, he would rather you hit rock bottom and realize that the only thing that can save you and the only thing that can change you is him. And so some of us are living in go ahead then situations. And I came to encourage you right now, before you're eating out of the pig's pen, turn. Before you've hit rock bottom, repent. You don't have to be looking at the pig slop saying, my God, if I could just, Miss Piggy, can you share, please? I want you to get the picture of this. What this young man used to eat, he's now coveting what it eats. What God has on a table spread for us in his will, we end up slaving and being jealous of things that aren't even on the level because we went ahead without God. I'm encouraging every person in this room, don't live in that go ahead then grace, because God has a perfect will for you that will produce his results in your life. Can I get a big amen? If you need scripture to back that up, go to Romans 1:24, where it says, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth of God's word for a lie. So they worshiped, look how powerful this is. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the creator himself. I want you to know, every person in this room, there is grace for you, even if you're in the pig's pen right now. But you have to turn. So now we keep going in verse 17. It says, when he finally came to his senses, because there's a moment where you're finally going to come to your senses. Like, this is nasty. I used to eat Chick-fil-A. Now I'm up here eating whatever this is. He said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. I am here dying of hunger. I will go home to my father's house and I'm going to say this. And you know how when you get in trouble and you get find out and you're on your way home and you know you're about to get in trouble, you start practicing your speech. Like what you would see what had happened was, this is what he does. What? Okay, this is what I'm going to say. Father, I have sinned against you, both heaven and you.
And I am no longer, yeah, that's good. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me as a higher servant. Oh, that's going to work. He's going to like that. That's what he was doing right here. So then he gets his note. He returns to the house. And he literally says, now watch the grace of God. The unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor and kindness of God. He said, and while he was still a long way off. Oh, this is good. The Father saw him coming. What I came to tell you is at the moment you turn and start walking in the direction that God has for you, God is not waiting for you to get perfect and get right in front of him and say, God, here I am, spotless. He says, as soon as he sees you coming, he said, while he was still a long way off, practical terms, while he was still cussing, while he was still trying to figure out, is this the way, while he still smelled like dirt, while he still looked like what he'd been through. Look what the Father does. It says, while he was a long way off, his Father saw him coming. How do you see him coming when he's a far way off? That means he was looking for him. The same way God is looking for you. No matter what you're in, what frustration, he's looking for you. And it said, filled with love and compassion. I love this. He ran to his son. See, what religion teaches you is that when you start running to God, he's standing there on the porch like, told you he was coming back. Told you so, son. Come on, bring your little raggedy self in here. Let's get you cleaned up. Get the water. He's, my God, son. But that's not what our Father does. Our Father, at the moment he sees that you turn, he doesn't wait for you to get there. He comes chasing you. Somebody needs to hear this right now. Grace is not us coming to God. It's God coming to us. Grace is him saying, you know what? They're not perfect yet, but I'm going to hit this jog. Matter of fact, I got to hit this run because I see the one who was lost. And I want to be with them so bad. I can't wait for them to get their act together. I see that they try and I'm coming towards them. That is the grace of God. And look what happens. The son starts in his speech. He said, wait, daddy, before you start, he pulls out his scroll and he says, Father, I have sinned against both you. Look, verse 21. He says, and heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. The father don't even acknowledge his dumb little speech. He doesn't even listen. Look at him. He doesn't even say, that's good, son. Look what he says. But his father said, he didn't acknowledge it. He talked to the servants. Quick. Bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Cover him. Get a ring on his finger, which signifies authority. And put sandals on his feet, because only slaves walk around barefoot. That is my son. Oh, my God. I need you to see this. When we are in the middle of our mess and we turn towards God, he is not looking for our excuses and our why. He is so excited that we are home, that he doesn't care about our speeches and proving it to all the servants. See, what we would have thought is that dad may have come around and said to all of the servants, my son is back. He has repented. He's apologized. He is now worthy. The father said, get the finest robe, which means I'm going to cover him. Can you understand this? That he still smelt like pig slop when God, the Father, covered his mess. I can't take away the smell yet. He could have called for the bath first. That's what the church would have done. We would have said, clean up before we waste this good robe. What did he say? Cover him. That's what the grace of God does for you. It says, cover it. Yeah, they messed up, but they've repented and they've received grace. Cover it. Oh, I need to send my son to stretch on a cross. And guess what? He didn't die to put your sin on layaway. He died once and for all. I'll cover it. Then he said, give him authority and put sandals on his feet, because he is no longer a slave. He is my son. Can somebody thank God for the grace that has been extended to you? So now he's standing there, probably just confused, like, this is not what I expected to happen. And it said, and kill the calf that we have been. Like we have been fattening this calf. It was almost as if the father had been preparing for his child to come home. You can't fatten a calf in 3 hours. That means that from the time he left to the time he came back, he knew that at some point, his faith was that at some point, his child would come back and they were going to throw a party for him. The same way that God is standing out every day saying, I've knocked again today. Hopefully today is the day that they come back and get in my presence. Verse 23, the end of it says, we must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead. He didn't call, do y'all notice that the dad didn't call him a prodigal? He called him a son. And most of the time we refer to people by what they did. The father didn't even acknowledge it. Because any man that be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm just trying to help us understand the grace of God. And he said, he was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So let the party begin. DJ, turn up. Like they started a party at that moment. All the servants was like, I am glad he came home. Today was going to be a long day, but like they started turning up. Now watch. So I want you to see, if you're lost, if you're broken, if you're a prodigal, I want you to know that the last 7 weeks of this series has been towards you. But because the mission of this church is to talk to lost people and found people, the rest of this sermon, I got to talk to people who are kind of like the older son, that have been faithful, who have done the right thing, who've been doing it for a long time. And it just seems like, has the father forgotten about me? Because I feel that a lot of people have been weary in this season and about to give up and about to start doing things or about to go find their prodigal season. Like, you know what? They celebrate him when he done wild out and come back. I'm gonna wild out and come back. And you know, you don't even know how to do it right. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever heard people like that know they ain't supposed to be sinning and stuff and they try to go out and like they cuss wrong. Like there's stuff that just don't work. I would give you an example, but I want to keep this PG, okay? So, but many times, if we're honest, that's how we feel. Like, maybe I should go out and do something. Maybe I should get the father's attention when his attention has never left you. And look at it, because I was hard on the prodigal son, on the big brother. I was hard on him because I was usually the prodigal. Like, I was the one wilding out and just, God, I need your grace. This pig slop is nasty, Lord. Like, that was me. But for the past 8 years, I've been walking with God, and three of them I've been a pastor of a church. Like, I've been walking hard with God. And so I changed from the prodigal to the big brother. Like many of us, like, we once were the prodigal, but now we've been faithful. We've been giving. We've been coming. We've been serving. We've been trying our best. And the attitude can change because something has happened and we forgot to identify and celebrate with what the Father is doing while knowing that he has not forgotten about us. And that's why the title of this message is Grace for the Faithful. Look at verse, we're going to go to verse 24, I believe it is, 25. It said, meanwhile, the older son was in the field working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. Now get this picture. He done came home for the past, let's just say 5 years every day. No celebration. Carrying whatever he was carrying, doing whatever, working. I'm out here being faithful. And he's what in the? Are they, they done pulled out the fattened calf? Are all the servants, is it a holiday? Did I miss something? Are they partying with that? Hold on. First of all, why didn't somebody come get me? Like, that would have been my first question. Y'all know I'm still out here working. Y'all done started a party and didn't even invite your boy? So he got an attitude from the beginning. Y'all know he sees it from,
And you know you start walking different when you have an attitude. He got an attitude. Now look. And so he asked one of the servants, hey, bro, what's going on? Bro, your brother back. Your brother back. Your brother back. He, man, yo, your father killed the fattened calf, bro. We eating steak off in here, bro. And we are celebrating, turn up, because he is safe at home, man. I love your brother, bro. I love your brother. You got to think they are having a party. Now watch. The older brother was angry, like many of the church is, when we see God blessing somebody who only been believing for a week. Like you, your first time in church was last week, and you got a new job, you got married, you got like, how did all this happen for you in a week? Come on, let's be honest. I've been applying to that school for years, and you just decided on a whim to put in your application, and they gave you a scholarship. Has anybody ever been there where you're like, what is happening? Okay. And so what happens is the seed of anger tries to get in your heart. He said he was angry. And then look at his play. He wouldn't go in. So literally, because he got angry, he would not enjoy something that would be beneficial to him because he was mad that it happened for somebody else. I want you to see this right now. The attitude of anger, jealousy, entitlement, competition, comparison, it will keep you out of what would bless you. So he stayed out. And he was like, I am not coming in. And the servant was like, all right, bro, I'm going back to the party. But he would not come in. Just like many of us won't serve people who we don't feel deserve. Like, just like many of us want, because we want to stay out and let everybody know that we do not agree with the Father blessing them. And they don't deserve it. But we've been faithful. And I want you to see this right here. Look what it says. The older brother was angry and wouldn't come in. This is so beautiful. His father came out and begged him. But he replied, all these years, I freaking slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat. That is a weak request. Like, he should have asked for a boat or something. He asked for a goat. Okay. You've never given me goat for my friends for a feast. Did he, Billy? Did he, Travis? No, he didn't. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering all of your money on prostitutes and you celebrate him by killing the fattened calf. His father said, look at me. Look into my eyes. Dear son, you have always stayed by me. Listen to this. And everything I have is yours. Like, there's so much power in this, because this young man was not seeing himself as an heir to the throne. He was seeing himself as a slave. But he was living below what God saw of him, because the father said, everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come to life. He was lost, but now he is found. What I want to encourage people who have been faithful, just a couple of things, because I can feel you. Like, I was going somewhere else with a different message today, and the Holy Spirit said, no, I got to talk to some of my kids who've been doing the right thing, who've been trying, who've been praying for a husband, praying for a wife, praying for kids, praying for the business, doing things right, but they're getting a little frustrated because they think I don't see them. And we're celebrating the ones who are making little milestones, and you said, I've been here this whole time. And these are a few points that I want you to know if you're faithful and you've been in that season. The first one is sustaining grace is just as amazing as saving grace. Like when somebody gets radically saved, we shout. But we need to shout when somebody's stayed consistent. And this is the thing, is that many of us,
do not find pleasure in consistency. Because everybody wants to celebrate the firework. They don't celebrate the fire that allows the firework to be lit. Nobody lights a match and be like, oh, shoot. Yo, fire. But without the consistency of that fire, you never see a firework. And I'm trying to just help people who have been faithful, that anytime God asks you to do something, anytime you've been struck, anytime that God asks you, you're consistent. You keep serving, you keep loving, you keep going, you keep doing that. God's saying, without you, there's no firework. And the enemy would try to make you feel that your consistency is nothing to be proud of. And the enemy would try to make you feel that God doesn't see what you do. But sustaining grace, if not for the grace, y'all, I could not be anything that I am right now if God didn't wake me up this morning. If he didn't give me a right mind, if he didn't do those things. And a lot of times we celebrate when somebody gets off of drugs and then comes in it, but he woke me up and I'm not crazy. I'm still here. After everything I've been through, after everything you've been through, you're still here. Y'all, we have to get amazed by sustaining grace. And this is something that you have to anchor in your heart when you're faithful, because God want you to know that it's him still sustaining you. Let me give you another point. You need to talk. If you literally are in a place where you see us celebrating or you see others celebrating somebody else and anger and jealousy and hurt gets in your heart, this may be the reason. Because you need to talk to the Father, not a servant. See, this dude came in from the field and his first communication was not with the Father. His first communication was with a fellow, a peer. And the peer was not thinking. He wasn't a son. He was a servant. So he had a different perspective. When you talk to people who are not on the level that understand what God is doing, they will allow a perspective to get into your heart, into your mind, that have you thinking like a slave. Oh, this is a son thinking like a slave. You can tell it because he tells his father in a couple of verses later, he says, I have slaved for you. He forgot who he was because he was talking to the wrong people. I'm telling you right now, I know there's some situations in your life that it feels like you're being looked over. Go talk to the Father. See, because when you talk to the Father, maybe he would have got a different perspective on what was really happening. The Father probably would have told him, son, there's no need to be frustrated. Remember for the past 22 months, how you've seen me stand out and watch you go to the field and then I stand out there a little longer looking for your brother? See, when you go out to the field, what you're doing is being consistent, so I don't have to worry about you. I can depend on you. Part of my joy comes when I look out and I see you doing the same thing that I asked you to do 6 months ago, and you're still being faithful. Matter of fact, as the Father, he might have said to him, that's the only thing that's given me hope, is that I have one son that'll do what I've asked him to do. I feel like a failure as a father because one of my sons, after everything I've poured into him, has gone off and squandered it. But every time I see you, I'm reminded of God's faithfulness because you have done the same thing and you've kept serving and you've kept giving and you've stayed faithful to one wife and you've completed what you said. I'm just saying. He might have given him a different perspective. Son, remember those sandals I gave you 3 years ago? And then I gave you new ones, but I asked you to keep the old ones. Those are the sandals I just put on your brother's feet. See, what was old for you is now new for somebody. And the only reason I gave him those sandals is because you've walked this road before. And now that he's coming into a newness of who he's supposed to be, I need somebody to show him how to walk. Y'all better help me. You remember that robe? That's the same exact robe that I had made for both of you. Because you both, he was talking to the wrong person. And when we start talking to friends and colleagues, I don't know why they keep passing me up for this promotion. Girl, I know. I don't know why they keep passing you up either. That's the same friend that told them not to hire you. Like, that's what you don't know. You got to go to the Father. So I'm telling you, it's time for us If we're in that place of trying to figure out how to be faithful, go to the Father. And it told us, the next point is the Father. This is the most beautiful one, is the Father. Even if you've been faithful, the Father still pursues the faithful. See, when I read this story before, this is kind of my whole point right now, is that I always saw that the Father or God ran to the one who was out there, wilding out. He met him in the point of his need. But I never saw it until this week that this is where grace comes in, because he didn't just go and pursue the one who was out there. He pursued the one who was in, got angry, and stepped out. You might have missed it. Look at it, verse 28. The older brother was angry, and he wouldn't go in. So his father came out. This is grace. That even if you've served God, and if you've loved him, and if you stood, but you had a moment of pride or entitlement or jealousy or anything, God's not saying, well, because, I mean, most fathers would have been like, stay out there then. More steak for us. But this father left the party. Do y'all see? He did the same thing for the one who was in the 99, the one who did what was right. He did the same thing for him that he talked about in two other parables that he would do for the one. He did it again. And he left the party to go out. And then it says he begged his son. Now, you know, the way I was raised, you don't really see fathers begging sons. It's like, I'll ask you once. You know what I'm saying? But think about the love and compassion you would have to be reasoning with this young man and trying to let him know, no, son, this is not to come against you. Or maybe he said this is not competition, this is completion. When you stay faithful, and now the son's returned, we're a family again. And this is the picture that God's trying to create. All your brothers and sisters out here wilding, because see, he disassociated with being his brother. It literally says in the text, the son says, this son of yours, not my brother. And what we start thinking is that these people don't have anything to do with us. And so we can come, these hookers, these liars, these. And he said, no. Remember, that's your brother. That's your sister. And when you stay faithful and they come back, then we don't get in competition. We complete what God was trying to do. What I'm trying to do is encourage somebody today who's been faithful. God needs you to continue to be faithful. Keep serving that husband who's still not all the way there. Keep loving on those kids. Keep doing the right thing. Keep serving in the children's ministry. Well, Lord, I've been called to the platform. He said, I know. That's why I'm asking you to give your everything to those children, because they're the ones that's going to be in your church. I'm asking you to lead your congregation now, but you're trying to leave that assignment to get on a platform. He said, you're trying to leave this relationship that I've called you to what you think is going to be better. And I've already planned this for you. Be faithful. And look at this last point. Faithfulness is not slavery. It's sonship. See, a lot of times we get the wrong perspective and we think that because we've been faithful, like, woe is me. Just going to stay here and serve the church. All my friends are moving to L.A. and New York and this and that. And I'm in Tulsa. Why we do that? Like, we're in Tulsa. Can't wait to get out of here. You can't wait to get out of your destiny? You can't wait to get away? You're looking at what the world has given you a perception of what success looks like. And God said, but I have a plan for you. And he said, when you're faithful to what I've called you to, that's not slavery. Well, I just got to do it because the master says so. This is sonship. Look at it. He literally tells him in verse 31, dear son, you have always stayed by me and everything I have is yours. I just wanted to come because God gave me a revelation. He said, Michael, at any point, at any day, at whatever the leisure of this older son, he could have taken a fattened cow, killed it, and threw his own party. But because he was thinking like a slave, he acted like a slave. And he was waiting for somebody else to throw him a party for being faithful. And God told me, Michael, I want you to go encourage somebody that they no longer have to wait for a pastor to notice them, for a husband, for a wife, for a boss to notice them. He said, you have been faithful and you have been my son. Throw your own party. Y'all didn't hear me. God told me to tell somebody that you've been waiting for the recognition of man and for somebody to say you've been doing a great job. He said, everything I have is your. You need to just make a decision. Some of us, we are waiting. Well, I've been celibate for 6 months and nobody sees it. Throw your own party. Y'all don't hear me. Throw your own party. There is something that has to rise up on the inside of you that says, I have been faithful. I have stood by God. I am a son. I am a daughter. And I will not let the celebration of others, let jealousy and anger come in my heart. The prodigal didn't have access to the things he needed to throw a party. But everything that is my father's is mine. So I need healing, claim it. I want peace, receive it. I need grace, take it. Like, you don't go into your own house and ask to eat because you own it. Matter of fact, I don't go into my father's house and ask to eat. Because I know anything he put in that refrigerator, he knew he had 5 boys. You hear what I'm saying? And when we come over, we're not saying, Dad, there's only a small drizzle of juice left. Do you think that it would be fine if I take the cart? I don't even get a cup. I just take the cart. And why? Because everything that is his is mine. Stop waiting for somebody to offer you something. Throw your own party. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Stop wait. Oh, no. Somebody needs to get this. Throw your own party. God has been faithful. You have been faithful. Stand in the knowing of who you are and throw your own party. Tell your neighbor, I'm about to throw my own party. See, some of y'all don't even get it. Some of you don't get it. You would rather somebody else tell you you're doing good. But if you're always waiting on man's approval, you will always stay outside of the will of God. He's already given it to you. This young man had been thinking like a slave, so he didn't think he could throw his own party. But his faithfulness gave him access. What I came to encourage you is your faithfulness to that wife, your faithfulness to that assignment, your faithfulness to that job is giving you access. Ask of God. Go to the throne of grace boldly. Tell God, I want this marriage to work, and don't, but I have been faithful. I'm reminding you of your word to me that says he who began a good work on, oh, come on, somebody, is going to be faithful to complete. I am your son. Everything that you paid for on the cross, healing, it's mine. And I will not stand here and act like a slave when you've called me a son. There are some people in here who are about to give up. And I know we've been going after the lost in this series. But let me talk to the found. Keep serving. Keep loving. Keep staying. Because what God is going to do is give you grace for your faithfulness. Listen to this last scripture, Galatians 6:9. It says, so let's not get tired and doing what's good. Another translation you might know says, don't be weary and well-doing. At just the right time, hey, I love it, we will reap a harvest of blessing. God's saying, don't give up now because you don't know what I got back here for you. Don't stop right now. Don't get ugly now. Don't give up on him now because right at the right time, I know when it's going to happen. It's on the way. You got to trust me. At the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing. Look at the caveat.
if you don't give up. And some of you are at the point to give up. And I wanted to come and tell you, don't give up. Like God sees you. Keep being faithful. Keep tithing. Keep serving. Keep loving. Because when you do, harvest time is coming. But God, it seems like everybody that's wilding out gets the blessing. God said, I can count on you. Like you don't realize that the deed to this whole thing when I die is in your name. like we're glad your brother's back, but he's got to learn how to walk this thing. I can depend on you. I can build a church on you. I can trust you with hard situations. I can give you a family to raise up. I can give you a bad boss and watch me rise up in you. Did y'all hear what I'm saying to you? Because I will give grace to the faithful. If that's you in this place and you've struggled with celebrating, like you outside the party right now, you just like, oh, I hate them. You want to dance, but you just tapping your feet because I ain't going. I'm not going to show. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to be bitter. I'm going to be mad. I'll never say it, but I have it in my heart. You're saying, I don't want to live like a slave no more. I want to live as a son. I'm going to throw my own party this week. You know what? I'm going to celebrate this weight that I lost. You don't see that I'm skinnier, but I'm 9 pounds down. And I don't care. I'm taking my shirt off. Like, y'all see what I'm saying? Like, some of y'all are like, you better celebrate your wins. You don't know how many more of them you have. It gives joy and strength for the next day. I used to cuss people out, but I only cuss one time this week. You better throw your own party. Because everybody will not celebrate what God is doing in you. And if you hold off your celebration, your heart grows sick. So today, there's grace for the faithful. Throw your own party. If you're in this room and you've been in that place like I was, and you're saying, man, I've been faithful, but I just haven't seen it, and maybe some anger or bitterness or frustration or comparison got into my heart, but I want to be free from that, I'm on assignment today to pray for you. And I just want you to stand up all over this building. Just like, if that's you, it's not for everybody, but it's for you. I want you to stand up. Because the other series, that's for everybody else. This today was for you. God made an interruption in this sermon series to talk to you specifically. Oh, I thank God for his word. Lift your hands all over this place. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you that there is grace for the faithful. Every person who has done and tried their best to stay to your word and do what you called them to do. And Father, maybe they haven't seen the results in the timing. Father, I thank you that you have not forgotten about them. Father, that you have made a specific moment. You have carved out a time of the harvest and blessing that is going to bless their socks off. Father, I thank you right now that they are becoming more sturdy and anchored in what you have said about them, that they are the head and not the tail, that they are above and not beneath. Father God, that you don't think more of somebody else. Father, you're just completing this circle. You're completing it. Father, I thank you that they would have strength to be faithful, even when it's hard, even when it's frustrating, even when it seems, God, that you don't see. I thank you right now that you are renewing their strength like eagles, that they're going to be able to soar like never before. And we will give you the glory, honor, and praise for it, because there is as much grace as you have for the lost, God, there are grace for the faithful. And we trust you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Come on, if you receive that, will you give God a shout of praise in this place?
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.